And now, the Big D and Bubba Weekly Podcast.
Big D and Bubba, they have a show 5 days a week, but they don't get to say everything that's on their mind, so they have an extra one, and that's how we get the podcast, the podcast, the podcast. Big D and Bubba Podcast, the podcast, the podcast. Big D and Bubba Podcast.
Yeah, kids. We're podcasting. I almost said podcasting. We're podcasting from the Wrangler Rigs studio. Wrangler Rigs workwear, super mega comfortable, super mega tough, and you wear it all day long. Life is good. Wrangler Rigs.
It'd be cool if you had a podcast about pies and you call it Piecast.
The Piecast would be great.
Piecast.
Yeah, we need to be on that.
Y'all like pie or cake more?
I like both. I like a cake pie.
I like a good cake. I like cookies, chocolate chip cookies. It's my ultimate thing, man.
Those cookies at the CMA Awards in the after party were the best ever. And I don't know if it was because they were really the best ever or the fact that they were just the first food we'd had in like 7 hours.
I'm telling you, I still sometimes wake up in the middle of the night and I was dreaming about that cookie.
Wow. Okay.
Weird.
I'm just saying, it was a joke, but it's still, I love that, man. Cookie was incredible.
I just tweeted out that we are taping the podcast right now, and if people want to be on it, to call us. So at random points throughout the podcast, we're going to just pick up the phone and be like, hey, what's up? I have good news for the gamers here. First of all, let me talk a little bit about, this is Bubba talking. I am a Star Wars nerd. I don't know if you know that or not.
No.
But Star Wars Battlefront for the PlayStation 4 is absolutely amazing, dude. It is amazing.
Is it worth, let me ask you, is it worth buying a PlayStation 4?
Okay. You're gonna want a PlayStation 4 anyway, because they're doing a lot of cool things. They are bringing the PS2 emulation. So basically, if you had some classic games on the PlayStation 2 that you loved, you'll be able to play them on your PS4.
If I have the old games?
I don't know if it's for the old discs.
Oh, okay.
Or if you have to download them again. I don't know that. I just know that I saw that they're doing backward compatibility. And they're going to bring that back. So I want to say that you can still run the discs, but don't take my word for it. I mean, this is just like news that came out today. So I don't really know. I didn't go and read the article.
Well, I've been kind of on the fence about it.
Okay.
For Christmas and junk, you know.
Here's the deal.
We have
a
two. A three.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, PS3s are great, but
it is great. I gotta be honest with you, man.
It doesn't compare, though, to the PS4.
It does compare.
No, it doesn't.
I've seen them next to each other, and everyone, here's the deal. If you own a PlayStation 4, everyone goes,
no,
dude, there's no comparison.
It's the little nuances, the stuff that you don't.
That's right. Now it goes to there's no comparison to. It's little nuances.
No, it's the little things. Like, you know.
That's what I'm saying. 5 seconds ago, you were like, dude, it's not even close. No comparison. And now it's, oh, it's just the little things. See, my point, well,
it's
if
the
it's
difference
a little
between,
thing, I don't want to get it.
You know, here's the problem. You don't have a high-def TV. You have that goofy TV.
I do have a really high-def plasma.
Well, it's the difference between watching TV at your downstairs, old TV, and upstairs TV. Which one do you like better?
Downstairs.
You do not.
No, I don't. But
okay, exactly. And that's the difference. The resolution is so much better. You see so much more detail. It's really, really sick. I mean, it's awesome, and I would suggest to anybody, get the PlayStation 4. You got Christmas coming up. Go ahead and do that because it's awesome.
Yeah.
And then they're rolling out that TV thing one day to everywhere else in the world. But right now it's still like 8 cities get it. And that's kind of dumb, but whatever. I don't think anybody wants to be on the podcast. Nobody, nobody's called.
It could be our phones, man.
Oh, yeah.
I forgot about that. You know, it's not. It could really be AT&T.
Patrick has spent the last 2 weeks of his life on this latest round, the last 2 weeks of his life on the latest round of dealing with AT&T. It's something he's had to do several times now. I don't really want to bash them. I really don't because
I don't want to talk about it because in case we end up suing them, which I think is still a possibility. I don't want this can be subpoenaed because it's on tape. So,
he said subpoena.
So nah.
I hope the judge laughs at that. Subpoena.
Did you say subpoena?
Pina.
I the other day, Frankie was having a birthday party. My son just turned 10. He's having a birthday party. There are 8 little boys at a sleepover. Yes, 8 10-year-old boys. And they're all going crazy, but my daughters are in there, and Olivia's got a friend over also. Stacy, whenever she does something, my wife, she always goes above and beyond. If Frankie's got friends over, then each of the other kids gets a friend, right?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, so our house is a it was like being an elementary school teacher, and nobody else is there but you. They're going crazy, and I'm trying to get the boys. The pizza just delivered to the door. I'm trying to get the boys to chill out. And I said, excuse me if you don't have a penis. Excuse me if you have a penis, sit down. And all the boys listened and sat, and then they were just giggling at that.
Oh my gosh.
Stacy looked at me, and she goes, I can't believe you said that. I'm like,
what? That was very clinical of you.
Dude, I get that all the time. I'm like, I can't believe you said that.
I'm like, what do you mean? You can't believe I said that. I'm trying to get the boys to sit down, and I kept going, boys, gentlemen, guys, and they wouldn't listen. When I said the penis thing, they went, oh, their little 10-year-old ears went, oh, here's your penis.
Hey, let me ask you. do you think that we say things in here and on the show, and we're just kind of not reckless, but we have very little filter.
Right.
And do you think that when we get out into the real world, because it's not the real world in here, but when we get out to the real world, do you think we do that because we just don't even think about it?
You know, I
really get it a lot, man.
I think what happened is we get so comfortable saying, and it's not even a difference between here and in the real world and out world and all that. It's the fact that we get so comfortable talking about just about anything. Like you said, we don't have much filter. And when we get out into the wild around people, we just don't care. I really don't care if somebody hears me say something that I would say in here. And my kids get, you know, they're mortified. I'll say something and they're like, and I'm like, what? It's the truth. It's what everyone is thinking. Why not just say it?
I was emceeing a thing for Gunner's school. It's a private Christian school. And on the way there, I'm emceeing this fundraising thing. On the way there, Kathy says, so, like, you know, this is a whole nother thing, right?
Huh? Like a different level of you got to behave?
Yep. I'm like, yeah. Wait a second. Do you think I would say something inappropriate at Gunner's school in front of all the parents and the faculty?
And she and the boys all at once said?
Yep. It's just me and her. And I mean, her and I. And so
she and I, me, us.
No, it was me and her, or her and me would be correct.
Yeah.
Whatever. And so I was like, okay, well, let me go ahead and get out some all the things that I probably can't say tonight, I'll say now.
So you just went on a tirade? I would have loved to have
I
been
know,
there.
I'm immediately thinking how much I wish I was sitting there to hear that.
And just to watch her reaction.
Last time you did that was before we were getting ready to go to the ACM Awards, and we were on the shuttle. And I said, D, you can't say anything bad about anybody because they'll all be sitting around us. And then you went, oh, okay, well, hold on. Let me get about it. You just rattled off like 6 or 7 things.
It was so great. But, yeah, I think sometimes we get so used to, I'm not going to repeat what we already said, but, yeah.
Anyway. Huh? What? Dude, listeners do that. Why can't you?
Oh, man. If you really want to make us lose our mind,
call yourself on
the show, say something, and then we'll go, oh, okay, and then say it again.
Yeah. Oh, it drives me nuts. Hey, I just wanted to call and say I love y'all. You wake me up every day. That compliment alone
is not even the compliment.
No. It's that. The compliment is so appreciated. If you say it, hey, I just wanted to call and say I love you guys, you wake me up every day.
You're making yourself look bad.
Who, me?
Yes.
No, it's just
not for the compliments. It's when people call in to say, yeah, my favorite movie was the second Star Wars. Okay, great. Well, thanks. Yeah, that was just my favorite one was, not the first, the second one. The second one was my favorite.
Okay, you're right. That was a better example.
Yeah. And then we talk to them and go, repeat yourself when you tell us how great we are. Keep going. Okay.
Yeah. Repeat as much as you want.
When giving compliments, you just by all means.
Yeah. That is the only exception, though.
Hey, what are we going to do with these terrorists, man?
We?
I don't know.
What are we going to do? What is the world going to do against ISIS?
Dude, I talked about this a little bit with a buddy of mine, and I said, I'm wondering, you know, they're talking about all the refugees coming in and all that kind of stuff. And they're like, you know, the president came out and said, oh, why are people so afraid of women or widows and orphans? Except every time I see video footage on every network of refugees, it's all dudes.
Yeah.
And they're all looking like they're not happy.
Yeah. And they're in like great shape.
Yeah. And I'm like, well, that's who I'm worried about. I'm not afraid of them. I'm worried about them getting into my country. Those are the dudes. I think women, widows, and orphans, that's not a bad idea. That's great. But that's not where they're going to stop. So I'm wondering if...
I think the argument is those aren't the people that are going to get let into this country. I mean, the refugee process is extremely long and thorough.
Like a two-year deal?
It's like 2 years, and they vet you through five different agencies and all this stuff, and...
Very
Congress just passed a bill to make it even harder.
I thought he's vetoing it. Yeah, it may be going on
they
right
may
now.
They may have enough votes to override.
Wow.
Call him, Jeffrey. He's good and thorough.
And thorough. I don't know, man. I don't know. I mean, if I wouldn't go to Europe right now. I hate to say it, but I'd be terrified.
I wouldn't go anywhere right now. You know? I'd just stay right here and load up.
Jeez.
I found a box. You know, I've been cleaning out my guy room / storage, and I was in the closet in there, and I pulled out this one box, and I'm not kidding you. It was six empty magazines. And I got so happy. I'm like, oh, this is like Christmas. I just found six beautiful Magpul magazines, and I'm going to be loading these later. And a lot of people are like, you don't load them. I do. I always have at least one loaded magazine at all times.
What people say don't load them. Who says
a
that?
A lot of people say, you know, don't load them because it's bad on the springs. Like, don't load them and leave them. Oh, but yeah, the thing is, you got to go and you got to, you know, put some rounds through it. And you rotate your magazines as well.
I'm shooting tonight.
Are you really?
Yeah, I'm taking, we're having a double date thing and taking some friends of ours, a couple that he told me he's never shot before.
What? You're taking a double date? With your wife and another couple, y'all are going shooting?
And dinner after.
That's awesome.
That's freaking great.
That is great.
Yep.
Make sure to wash your hands real good after you're done.
I might steal that idea. That sounds like a good date idea, actually.
It's a great date idea.
We're going on Sunday or Monday. Just depends on the weather. We're going with my brother, and we're going to finally sight in that Mark 12.
That's a great date idea. I'm going to put that in my back pocket.
Put it in your front pocket.
Why don't you put it in your
shirt
pocket?
You see me, or is that just a good idea? yeah, so.
Man, we are in a weird mood today,
you,
man.
I don't want you making fun of me and my dumb puns. You just whipped that out, man.
Yeah, that was a pretty.
That was horrible.
That was a little bit of a dad joke there. Oh,
flipping Laurel and Hardy here.
Hey, look at that. A pencil now, in your pocket? You're just happy to see me there.
Listen, Stanley.
Oh, wise guy, eh?
I like my cigar, but I put it down every once in a while. Oh!
Take
my wife, please.
So, yeah, we're going to do that, and then we're going to have... And he's like... So, I was riding with him, and he's from Chicago, and we're in my car, truck, and he saw my gun or something, I pulled a gun, I go, yeah, it's a Glock, and... 23 and blah, blah, blah. He's like, yeah, you can just tell. He's had that look like, oh. Mm-hmm. He goes, you know, I've never shot a handgun. He goes, I've shot rifles and stuff. I've never shot a handgun. I said, well, Ben. So I took him through a quick, you know, here's how this does works and blah, blah, blah. And the most important thing, I think, is to, if you chamber around and you pull the magazine, that they're still around, the gun will still fire. And I was like, that's, to me, the most important thing in gun safety besides not
– Yeah, that people don't realize that even if you pull the magazine out, there is still a bullet in the chamber.
Yeah, and it looks like, oh, they can't fire. There's no things there, and it'll still blow your brains out. So, you know, to me, that's the most – I always try and show that the first thing other than don't look at it.
It goes back to the basics of – always treat every gun as though it is loaded at all times. I even do, even when I disassemble them, you know, when you disassemble to clean, I still get weird.
Oh, hey, I'm tell you, the Glock is the craziest to disassemble because you clear the rounds, okay, and then you have to do this weird thing with your hand where you kind of pull the slide a little bit, and then you... your two fingers push these two buttons down, and then you have to pull the trigger. And when you pull the trigger, it releases the whole top part.
I don't like that.
And I'm like, oh, man. And every time, right before I'm about to pull the trigger, I go, okay, it's not loaded, right? And I always turn it into like the ground or something and then pull the trigger. But, yeah, it's crazy.
What are you doing, Patrick?
I'm doing a little Snapchat.
Doing a little Snapchat. Hey,
Patrick.
A little Snapchat.
Snapchat on the podcast.
By the way, everybody that has replied on Twitter about the call now thing, they are chicken. They're like, oh, I'm too shy. I'm scared. I don't want you. You know, I think people are sometimes afraid of us. Like, why would you be afraid of us?
Well,
we are well behaved.
I remember when I called the a radio station for the very first time. I was nervous, man.
Oh, God. I actually remember the first time I ever called a radio station. No. How is it that we remember? Most normal people don't remember, I think, the first time they called a radio station.
Is this your first time ever calling a radio station or radio show?
It is my first time.
Oh, man.
I already hung up.
You already hung up on you.
Oh, Big D.
Yeah.
Oh,
doofus. Someone tell us that we won a CMA award. Hey, hotline's ringing. Hello.
Oh, yeah. I got the wrong number.
D, stop it.
The best. The best.
Yeah, that was the best, man.
That was the worst.
You will forever have the tape of us finding out we won the CMA award and Bubba not believing it.
I don't know. We had to call the CMA board.
Yeah,
or
but you know
we had to call Mr. CMA.
We did, and I was proven that it was the right
time.
Yeah,
as it turns out, we really did win. So I sent. So we are doing all this stuff, getting ready for. We have a new project. I don't know how much we can talk about on the podcast. We have a new thing starting.
It's new.
What? 2 months? Exactly 2 months, we're going to have a new show in the same building as us.
Yeah.
Which is insane. But lots of stuff going on. And I've talked to several people. So I'm getting the second or fifth round now of people who just finding out we won CMA or just realizing or getting in touch with me. So like the people, there's a company that does broadcast supplies where you can buy microphones and radio boards and all that. And so that lady sent me a thing. Oh, by the way, congratulations on the CMA award. You know, the guy at the computer company that does all of our computer stuff. Oh, and by the way, congrats to all you guys on your CMA award. I'm like, man, this might go on for a long time. Like, this is something that never goes away. Yeah, but I mean, that's great. I'm not complaining about it at all. I just think it's crazy that that's such a thing.
You know what is weird? As you know, we're going into Thanksgiving and all that kind of stuff. We're going to have a lot of family that we're going to run into, and they're all going to ask the same questions. Oh, what was it like?
It was great.
And exactly. It's funny because I've noticed that as more and more people have asked me, my reaction has gotten mellower. Like my reply to them is always, oh, it was great. I mean, it was unbelievable. You should have been there. And instead, I need to go back to what it was like that very next day after the CMA Awards when I was just overcome with emotion. I mean, literally, there were times in that crowd when everything was happening and you're just looking around and you're like, this is like the dream. I know everybody always says, I'm living the dream. But that night, that place, that stage, that event, we were. And it was cool.
It was cool.
We can't win next year. Either one.
Yeah, everybody
ACM always or a
good
CMA.
Luck next year. We can't do it.
The rules say you can't win 2 years in a row.
But why? They let
and for the record, I don't think we would. We didn't win for the first 15 years we sent an entry in. So I don't think it's not like I think we would win again next year in a lock, but it's just interesting. Gee, can't even try.
Yeah.
Well,
it's good. It makes it good for everybody else. Yeah. So I like that rule because if that rule didn't exist, we probably wouldn't have won this year.
Yeah.
It's quite frankly, because you know Mr. Lon would win every year, pretty much. So
yeah, Lon Helton.
Yeah. He won them both last year, so he wasn't eligible for either one. So
he did too? He won both last
year? He won the ACM and the CMA before we did.
Oh.
So He wasn't eligible for either one, and we won both of them. So that's I'm pretty sure that that's why we won, because he wasn't eligible.
We really should send him. Didn't we send him something like a thanks
We
for,
did. After the ACM, we sent him a thing that said, thanks for not being eligible to, be, to win.
Oh, we've got to pick up that ball again and do it again. I have 8,000 people sleeping at my house over the next 12 days. For Thanksgiving, it is going to be insane, and I'm already losing my mind. Stacy's already losing her mind. It's funny because Thanksgiving is always, to me, I like Thanksgiving better than Christmas. And wait, hear me out before you say better than Christmas. I like the fact that you can get everybody together, and there's no pressure. The gift-giving thing isn't laying over people's heads. It's a little more laid back. And I like that as far as getting the family together better than Christmas.
And there's food.
And there's a lot of food. And that's what it's all about, is the food and the being thankful for everything you have. And I'm a little worried that hosting it at my house this year instead of going to my brother's or sister's places is maybe a bad idea. I don't know if I'm going to do it again, because there's all that stress of getting the house ready, because you know people are going to be coming in. They're going to be judging you. They can be like, oh, look at his bathtub. There's a ring in here. So everything has got to be spotless. Everything has got to be in presentation mode. And I'm just sick of cleaning, man.
Well,
that guy room that I have, I feel bad because I know we criticize Patrick on clean your office, man, clean your office. My guy room is Patrick's office of my house. It's where if we don't have a place for something, I'll just go stack it in the guy room. And it becomes the hoarder room, I guess. And so I've got boxes of Barbie dolls on top of boxes of electronics, on top of boxes of old electronics, on top of boxes of old clothes that my wife will let me throw away. I mean, it's so cluttered. And I don't want, and the bad thing is because there's so many people staying over, I have to have it cleaned out so we can put inflatable mattresses up there for people to sleep on. I'm like, oh my gosh, man.
You have that many people for real?
Yeah.
Dang, that's a lot of people.
That's insane, isn't it? Can you imagine?
No. My house isn't as big, but even still, I like having people over, like, for a while, like for a party or for dinner.
Yeah, and for short times.
Yeah, and then you need to go.
Now, see, you know? I'm cool with everybody. I love everybody being there. I wish it could go on forever. I miss my family because we're all spread out everywhere. I just hate the preparation part. I'm like, you know what? This is a lot of stress for no reason.
Dad's coming over. He wanted to go out. He's like, well, we'll just go out and get something.
Get some easier. Chinese food.
I'm all about, you know me. I'm very little traditional kind of thing about that. But I don't know.
There's a lot of cool restaurants that do really cool, like you get a reservation and they have a full-on Thanksgiving dinner.
Yeah.
That can be good.
Yeah, and then, because then I think, wow. Because I enjoy the prepping and making. But it's the cleanup, man.
There's no cleanup. There's no, what do we do with all the leftovers?
That's right.
You go in, you sit down, you eat your food, you pay your bill, you go home. And it probably costs less when it's all said and done.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, because set up that whole meal, it gets pretty expensive.
I haven't even gotten a turkey yet.
So you are doing the at home?
I don't know. That's why I keep one. I go back and forth when I don't get a turkey. So I'm like, maybe we're going to.
I'm going to Grandma's house. Grandma's 85.
So what's y'all's meal? What's your mom make?
Oh, we're so Cajun. Every year at Thanksgiving, I notice this. We have turkey with turkey gravy over rice. My grandmother's specialty is what's called rice dressing, which is like, or some people call it dirty rice, where it's rice and meat and some veg and other stuff.
Awesome.
So that's fantastic. Then my mother's specialty is corn casserole, which has rice in it. Mm-hmm. There's corn and rice in a kind of a dish. So I'm looking at my plate last year, and I realize rice and gravy, rice dressing, corn and rice casserole. Yep, we're Cajun. That's it.
Cajun people eat a lot of rice.
You know.
Yeah. Ours
is the best because you eat a lot of it with that turkey, and then you feel like.
Ours is a mess because we're so mixed up. I mean, my dad being Mexican, obviously, we've got tamales and enchiladas and all that kind of stuff. My mom being Cajun, we've got all of the, you know, traditional Cajun things. Like we'll have, you know, jambalaya and different things like that. They're going to be mixed in. But all the pies and all the cakes and then all the turkeys. And we're doing two different turkeys. We're doing one in the oven and one that is fried. We're going to have tons of ham. I mean, it's just a little bit for everybody. So it's like walking into an all-you-can-eat buffet, like where there's a little bit of everything. So somebody will find something.
Yeah.
I'm just thinking about that rice dressing right now.
I always love it, the holidays, when you have a bunch of people who are, you know, like a mom's age, you know, that age or whatnot, and they're really good at cooking, and everyone always brings some dish that has burnt or browned marshmallows on top.
Yep. Oh, yes.
I don't know what's in it, but
marshmallows catch fire, we have a home run.
I mean... You dip it, and it's like a mystery bag. You don't know what's in there.
Are you thinking about like the, what is it, sweet potatoes?
Yeah, candied yams.
Oh, yes.
There's that. Sometimes it's, it could be.
And it's so sugary, and it's
it could be
all kind of stuff.
Yeah, it could be. Who knows?
What's just underneath the melted marshmallows? I don't know.
It's an American treat.
You know what? There's melted marshmallows on top, so got to be good.
America. Mm-mm. Yeah. I don't know. I think I'll cook. And I'll just get some dishes out of my mom's recipe book and use those. Those are always great.
I think you and I just found this dude's tweet, changing the subject here because I'm ADD. Spencer Dupreez sent a tweet in June. Says, what's up, guys? I absolutely love your show. Listen to you guys all the way from South Africa. And, like, I didn't realize you had liked it, too. Somebody else liked it, like a listener, and that's how I saw it. And, like, you and I both have been, like, commenting on this. This guy's going to be like, it's been months, and you're finally replying.
Why did that pop up? Because someone liked it.
Yeah.
Get you a stuffed deboned turkey. That's what you need.
Sounds good to me.
Oh, that's the best. From A-Bears. Free plug for A-Bears because they're not paying for this. Get you a stuffed. You get that stuffed turkey, man.
Didn't you work there?
No.
Where'd you work when they make the pies?
Oh, that was a friend of mine. His dad owned a pie shop.
And
not even open anymore.
Now, I didn't even know, Patrick. This is the weird, funny thing is we used to get pies from there, like, for years.
Jim's Country Pies on Highway 90 in Coteau, Louisiana.
It was the greatest pie you have ever had in your life.
He made a meringue pie?
That was it.
Yeah, he made a meringue pie. The meringue on the top was this thick. It was a pie crust, and then the freaking meringue would be 3-4 inches off the top of the pie.
It was amazing.
It was awesome.
And they had a coconut pie, and they put it was a coconut meringue pie. Mm-hmm. So you had the coconut, and then all the meringue.
Seriously.
It was crazy good.
Pyah!
So one day, that was my Cajun come out. Pyah! But Patrick and I were talking about those pies. He goes, I used to work there. I'm like, what?
I didn't work there. It was my best friend's dad, and we would fold boxes. Everyone would get in. It was getting close to Thanksgiving or Christmas. They needed lots of boxes. So we would have we would sit there on a Friday night, and he'd pay us $20, and we'd sit there and we'd just fold boxes while we were doing whatever. The best. But I remember going over to his house on a Saturday night, pick up my buddies. We're going to go out on the town. And he's every time, because they were closed on Sunday and Monday. So he wasn't open again until Tuesday. So Saturday night, if there were any pies left, he couldn't sell them on Tuesday. So it was always, listen, there's 3 pies in the shop. I need to bring one to the priest tomorrow at church. Y'all eat them other 2 pies.
So that's what he would do. Yeah, that's cool. He donated to the priest every week.
Yeah, every week he would bring the priest one if he had one left. And if there was anything else, that's what we did. So we would be going out in town with our friends, and we don't have 2 whole pies with us. Like, we're gonna need some spoons. It's gonna be a party.
Oh, that's so great.
Those pies were good, man. Is he still around?
I don't think he closed the shop years ago.
Oh, that breaks my heart.
Yeah, that was good stuff. Good stuff. Not at all how I got this fat.
Oh.
Probably a little bit how I got this fat.
I think it's about time for lunch.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna go grab me a little bit of food. I'm gonna go pick up my wife and my mom. And we're going to drive to our storage unit. Yes, we have a storage unit because we have that much as far as decorations go.
Oh, God.
We're going to the storage unit, and we're going to unload all the Halloween and Thanksgiving stuff and put in all the Christmas stuff. And we're decorating today, man, for Christmas.
That's exciting, man.
Can't wait until Black Friday. No, yay. Gotta do it now.
Christmas.
Well, you get everyone there. You get help. It makes sense.
I'm going to decorate. My decorating for Christmas is pulling my artificial tree out of the attic and putting it together, which is two steps, letting my kid decorate it.
We still have the best Christmas tree ever in this studio. I bought it online, 10 years ago?
Maybe not that long, but we've had it for a while.
It's like a collapsible.
That's a good word.
A fold flat Christmas tree. Literally, it goes down to about 3 inches. An entire Christmas tree, 6 foot tall, goes down to 3 inches, and you just undo it, and it's
a brilliant design.
It's really pre-lit. It's just awesome, and it looks great. We have a Christmas tree up.
I'm going to take a picture of that, make it the podcast photo.
Oh, and it's actually not a Christmas tree right now. You want to make sure you get the turkeys. I'll send you the one I took the other day because it's got all the turkeys on it. But we took handprints, and you know, like your little kids, whenever you're in kindergarten, you make a little turkey out of your hand, trace your hand. That's what we did for each of us. So it's a Thanksmas tree until Friday. We're done?
We're done.
Guys, y'all have
enjoy your weekend.
And a happy Thanksgiving from us to you. Seriously, enjoy it. Enjoy your family. You don't know how long you got them.
This was the podcast, but now it's over. But that's okay, because you can listen to the regular show on the radio every day. It was the podcast.